sitting here listening. I'm absolutely fascinated. It's very hard for someone of my generation to really, you know, sit with someone like you and really learn about the family. I'm learning a tremendous amount.
Wasn't a terribly exciting family. They worked hard. They worked together. And they didn't work together. They separated. One went one way and went the other. Jason Coffin boys went down. Warren Coffin was there. There's, and the rooms are all related somewhere along the line. And they were all in, they were all brought over by the Coffin brothers.
Mm-hmm.
All the money that they earned in the business, as buyers and managers and whatever they were, 50% of it was always kept away from them as a nest egg. They only were paid half of their wages. So in 1912, when the breakup came, they had enough money, there was 7 or 9 of them, I think, which bloomed there. And they were paid out their accumulated earnings, and with that close to $1,000,000, they rented the, they talked the Oliver people into building a store. The store originally was built by the Olivers. It was like next to the Oliver building. And they struggled through the First World War. And then I really don't know what happened in turn. I do know that they sold to Gimbals. Name is put on
it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what year was that
approximately? Well, I think 1918. They weren't in business for 7 years. Maybe 19. So 18, I think it was.
And they all went
their separate ways? No, Carl stayed with the Gimbel organization. There was another branch of the family called Arthur Kaufman, who stayed here with Kimball's, and then he went and ran the Curry store here afterwards, and then he went back and worked for Kimball's in Philadelphia as general manager. He's still living.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur, his brother, stayed with us. And until he died. I mean, the rest of the Coffin, the Jacob Coffin boys, Raymond, I think, went into the real estate business, I remember correctly. So the oldest one had a law practice. Carl stayed in Gimbel's. Chester went with Gimbel's into Philadelphia. He lived in Philadelphia and Gimbel's still. Where'd the other one go?
How do you view your accomplishments and your successes and some of your failures in life?
Well, I have no failures now.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
I have no failures. Very, very few accomplishments.
Yeah.
I really, that's something I really couldn't talk about. I'm not spectacular. I've tried to mind my own business.
We don't let you, though. Community won't let you. We need you.
Well, in the early days, yeah, I was associated in the early days with the Red Cross and the Salvation Army. other Jewish organizations in the farm.
Is there any other things that you feel that we should cover that, that we haven't talked about? You'd like in the record?
I don't know. There aren't some stories that have been written. I have to look and see where the books are, or the historical books. You say you've looked through the historical books.
I've been to the History and Landmark Society.
Yeah, I don't know where they have them.
Well, I've found a few articles in Pittsburgh and Environs,
yeah.
And some scrapbooks.
You mean in the Jewish community, were there any records kept? I really don't know. If they were, I would say they were more likely kept in the temple or the shrine.
The temple?
The shrine.
Yes, they have.
If they haven't. Anyway.
Is there any little stories you'd like to tell us, perhaps, about your brother Edgar or your sister-in-law? You'd like to recall for us?
They were all the Kaufman children were individuals. And I don't mean make positively. Every one of them different. No, not in particular. I mean Stella, the eldest, since she was married in 1905, the same one time. It was a great occasion. Big wedding, and told everybody I went to my mother's wedding.
Where was the wedding?
Sherman Hotel. I couldn't understand that.
But she was a lot older than you.
Yeah, sure. I told you, I was the after one. Thought of a long time after this. 13 years. Edgar, 4 years after Martha. And there was one in between Edgar and Martha. No, I wasn't supposed to be thought of in that at that time. I thought that I knew. Four children and one that didn't live. That was another was in the mid-40s. It was maybe not old today, but
maybe
in those days it was considered unadvisable or something, I don't know.
Didn't have the medical technique.
No. We didn't discuss it with me. No, I can't tell you that each one of them were different. Stella was a very worldly person, so was Edgar. I think Martha was more of a home person,
mm-hmm.
and a family person. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm talking about by myself, nothing at all. I just got married when I was 23, and I'm still married to the same woman.
Since
1921? Yeah. 56 years ago.
That's a long time.
You can say that double.
I don't mean it like that.
I do. But you know, they say about that, it's like hanging. You can get accustomed to hanging. No, I wanted to say, being married this long is not an easy thing to do. Have a certain amount of willpower.
Mm-hmm. I believe you.
I agree.
I mean, has it always been honey and sugar and roses and thorns? Yes.
I think all marriages are like that. That's what makes them fun. If they were all honey and sugar, they'd be boring.
There's no question about it. No question about it. But people don't know how to accommodate themselves to, or they don't want to live.
Mm-hmm.
Something like internally in order to kind of try to mind my own business, and my wife does that too, and very social, and I need it. It's a part of my life. But you don't, you prefer to go to the club?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's only why you stay on the in the early days in the Westmoreland Country Club, I think I had one of the charter members. I had a golf stick once, one day in my hand, and hit the ground and broke it with my golf game.
Oh.
But it was part of a community life. I mean, it was, we entered into these things, I think, for part of the athletics, and we didn't have a Concordia club during this time. But, now, if I keep building a house for the rabbi leaving,
mm-hmm.
I'm facing the Shinnick Park in the back of Beacon Street. Yeah, he felt sorry for the poor Englishman. And a great man.
Yes.
We had two or three daughters that came along. To the back end of that property, we lived on Beacon Street at that time. And I think after he built the house, he gave it to me. After I knew he was going to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Which he did, and he died there. Other than that, I really. I see that almost anything that went on for the benefit of the city that Kaufman would always ask to join or volunteer to join. He was maybe a little bit of a business thinking behind it, but we were, that's, I think all of you were in their own way. And I know in small ways they were very generous.
Mm-hmm.
So for a lot of money that was given by my father to 80 families, he used to keep track of it. Never expected to get it back. Never asked for it back. It was all, I mean, it's different than what you kids are. And when they spent, when they gave $50 to someone, they wrote it down.
That's
a crack of every month. It had nothing to do with taxes at that time. Those taxes they started in a very small way in 1950. And it became important for the last 30 years, 40 years since Roosevelt.
Social Security and all that, too.
Social Security started in Roosevelt's time,
mm-hmm.
But, no, they used to keep handwritten books. I still have a few of them. I threw a lot of them away. Because they kept their own books. They kept their own books. Not like me, right? My account, he forgets to put something down, it's gone. It's lost.
Yeah.
No, that was, household expenses, I'm saying that. When we were not deprived of anything, they didn't have to account for anything, but they did account for it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things that the way they were brought up. I think it's more than 10 years ago. I threw a whole carton of stuff away and still was away. This was a tremendous thing in those days. And the Shenley Ballroom, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people could enter.
Yeah.
I was dancing. all the money we spent for her dresses, the flowers. But what the hell? Give them to my kids? Who cares about them? There's nobody left to care about them. And it doesn't mean anything to anybody anyway.
It was interesting for you to kind of
plan it out. No, but I mean, you know, I don't know what you spend for a wedding today. Maybe $5,000, $10,000,
$15,000.
I mean, you know, that's $3,000 to $4,000 in those days. Big dough.
Sure.
And wasn't snide either. I mean, this wasn't overalls. Wedding dress. $300.
Okay,
yeah. I mean, it's a whole, nobody understands it.
Not today. Young people today appreciate that.
You have to buy blue jeans for $150 outfit. And get married in it, too.
Get married apart.
Yeah. Get married in the park, right. I don't know. I mean, I can't tell you too much about it. Outside of the charities, the children, the settlement, the farm, as I say, what the women used to do with the families that were in need, that was interesting to him. Doing charitable acts. When it came to the business, there wasn't anything that that was done in the city of Pittsburgh. The business wasn't involved in financially or with one of us working on committees.
Did you all meet together in the business?
Oh, sure.